Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you keep hearing that there's only one God, that the Bible tells us about one God, that the Bible is the word of this one God, and yet you've noticed that the Bible comes in two completely different sections called the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you read portions from the Old Testament and then move on and read the New Testament, it seems they are talking about different gods. The personality is different. Everything's different. In any event, Jewish people certainly claim that it's different. They say that this New Testament, which they don't believe in, has nothing to do with the God of Moses or the God of Abraham that we read about in the Old Testament. Christians, on the other hand, always insist that one God, the same God, is found in both major sections of the Bible. And yet, when you read the Old Testament for yourself, God does seem kind of angry, judgmental, mental, vindictive. The New Testament stresses a God of love and forgiveness. So they do seem very different. Is the New Testament a more chilled out God? Well, my friend, this is a very common objection to the Bible. Indeed, upon first glance, God does seem different in Old Testament days, often commanding wars or executions for capital offenses. To make matters even more confusing, capital offense was not limited to murder, but even sexual practices such as adultery. In the New Testament, God does seem quite different, being much more about mercy and offering us a nurturing relationship with himself. Although these observations are obvious, we must point out just as quickly that they are surface observations. God is actually the same in both Testaments. Let me say that again. God is actually the same in both Testaments, although the covenant with his people has changed. Testament means covenant or agreement. So Old Testament means the old agreement between God and people. If the Old Testament claimed to be a binding contract for all time, we would certainly have reason to be suspicious of the New Testament. But Jeremiah the prophet predicted this very covenant. I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 31. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." The Old Testament law of Moses could be divided into two major categories, the moral law and the ritual law. The moral law included commandments such as do not steal, do not covet, those kinds of things. Because human beings have a sinful nature, their ability to follow such commandments is seriously flawed. That is why God in his mercy also gave the ritual law, in which animal sacrifices supposedly atoned for sin and made up for the fact that the moral law was not being adequately obeyed. If people were true to this check and balance system, if upon sinning they at least offered an animal sacrifice, and of course they did it through the priest, if they did that, God would say, "You have obeyed my law." Well, naturally, that didn't mean they were obeying the moral law in any ideal sense. Under the new covenant, the ritual law is fulfilled in Jesus, our ultimate sacrifice. When he died on the cross, he was paying not only for the sins of people in the present and the future, but also the past. He died for Moses. He died for Abraham, King David, anyone else who sought his forgiveness. But they didn't know a guy named Jesus was going to live someday to atone for their sins. So they made animal sacrifices. When they did that, in their minds, the animal was atoning for their sin. It was really Jesus who did that. But of course, God is giving them a picture ahead of time of what Jesus will do. This answers one of the questions I get very frequently. If people can only be saved through Jesus, what about those that lived before Jesus? Well, this at least answers part of that question. at least for the ancient Israelites. So that's the fulfillment of the ritual law through the cross of Jesus. The moral law has also been fulfilled through our relationship with the Holy Spirit, who changes our hearts and gives us an ability to put others before ourselves. Jesus said the entire law could be summed up as follows. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. That was from Matthew 7:12, part of the Sermon on the Mount, what people commonly refer to as the Golden Rule. Now that term, that expression Jesus is using, law and the prophets, that is what ancient Hebrews used while referring to their own Bible. This is what Christians now call the Old Testament. Of course, to the ancient Jews, there wasn't going to be any New Testament. The law and the prophets. The law was the first five books of Moses, the prophets included, obviously, prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, but also the historical books like Kings. They were part of the prophets too. There was another section called the Writings, which had the Psalms and the Proverbs, but Law and the Prophets became kind of the abbreviated phrase. That was just their way of saying the Bible. So Jesus is saying, treat people the way you want to be treated. That sums up the Bible. In other words, it sums up the ethics and morality of the Bible. The inverse then also follows. If we're not doing that, we're sinning. If we want to know what makes something a sin, if we're not treating people the way we would want to be treated, we have sinned. And of course, we're all guilty of sin. But for now, the term law and the prophets, once again, is what ancient Hebrews used when referring to their own Bible. Thus, Jesus is saying that if we are able to follow this one golden rule, we have obeyed the entire moral law. For obviously, if we are treating people the way we want to be treated, we will not kill them, steal from them. The problem, of course, is that nobody is able to follow this standard 100%. That is why we need God's forgiveness on the cross for our past and the changing power of God's Spirit to make us better people in the future. As you can see, Jesus did not abolish the law, but something did change. He fulfilled the law. Matthew 5, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Again, that means Bible. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, the Bible. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. With this in mind, let us list some specific similarities between the Old and New Testament believer, or again, Old and New Covenant, Old Agreement and New Agreement. Old Testament, people are forgiven of sin through animal sacrifices, which typified what Jesus would later do for them. New Testament, we're forgiven of sin through the death and atonement of Jesus. Old Testament, people are kept under God's control through the moral law from outside, which imposed rules and regulations. New Testament, people are kept under God's control through the Holy Spirit. Old Testament placed hope in a future but unidentified Messiah. The New Testament places hope in an identified Messiah's second coming. Of course, Messiah means Christ. Messiah comes more out of the Hebrew, Christ more out of the Greek. Those are transliterations of both, but similar wording. And of course, Christ, Messiah, means anointed one, one sent by God on a special mission. In short, the Old Testament believer looked toward the cross, the New Testament believer looks back at the cross. God's provision for sin is the same in both testaments. His standards are also the same, but when we move on to the subject of standards, it gets a bit tricky. God himself always was and always will be both merciful and just. However, and it's a significant however, his people under each covenant tended to emulate different attributes. The Israelites were instruments of God's justice and judgment. That is why disobedient Hebrews were put to death for various violations. That is why certain wicked nations, such as the people inhabiting Canaan, were conquered under God's command. These nations were actually sacrificing babies on the altar to their pagan deities. In the New Testament era, as a general rule, Christians are not sent out as mercenaries to punish evil. Instead, they are instruments of God's mercy. Jesus commanded his disciples to carry the gospel, which means good news, carry the gospel that we can be forgiven of our sin, the good news that we can be forgiven of our sin and set free from the effects of sin, carry this good news to every nation. But despite the difference in emphasis, examples can be found in both testaments for all of God's attributes. For example, King David, having committed adultery and murder to cover up the adultery, was guilty of two capital offenses, either one of which was punishable by death according to the law of Moses. Nevertheless, Nathan the prophet looked David in the eye and said, "The Lord has removed your sin. You shall not die." Meanwhile, in the New Testament, two individuals, Ananias and Sapphira, dropped dead on the spot while lying to the apostles, slain supernaturally by God himself. We read about that in Acts chapter 5. Of course, the New Testament also develops the doctrine of hell. Far more than the Old Testament do they develop this doctrine. Can there be a more ultimate, permanent example of God's justice? The good news is that on the cross, we see God's mercy and justice combined. Justice says our sins needed to be dealt with, but love was exemplified in God becoming a man to take on the penalty we deserved. Rest assured, my friend, both the Old and New Testament were inspired by the same God, the one and only God of the universe. This is Bob Siegel, unpacking the complex, finding the obvious, and then, as always, making that obvious just a little more obvious. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.